Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
0-2 to Abreu. So for two tonight, but he's hit it hard. He drives one high and deep into right center field towards the Red Sox bullpen. It is back and it is off the top of the wall, and it caroms into center field. This could be an inside the park homer. Abreu runs third. He gets the go ahead. He comes home. Head first slide. Inside the park homer for Willier Abreu.
Final hour. Jones and Keith. Mego in for Keith here today. Coming up at 2 o'clock, you got WEEI Afternoons. We got Clip du Jour and the Grab Bag on the way as well. So stay tuned for it. Jam-packed hour for you with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. Big night for Willier Abreu last night. Inside the park home run. Grand slam as well. I asked you this earlier, Mego, and I don't mean to go back to Alex Cora being the best at picking up on tip signs out there. Tip pitches, rather, out there. But the Red Sox now have won 2 out of 3. I'm a glass half full guy. You know me.
Always.
They've won 2 out of 3. In those two wins, they scored 15 and 13 runs. Abreu came back off the IL. He now has more home runs than anybody on the team. He passed Devers with the two last night. He is in conjunction with Roman Anthony. Three straight multi-hit games, four-game hitting streak. That's mild progress, but it is progress out of Roman Anthony. You hope Bregman is back soon-ish. Is the offense starting to turn it around and find its stride?
Those are good reasons that you give to be optimistic about the offense. I just wouldn't look at the situation last night and say, okay, now this is indicative of who the team actually is more like offensively. They give it to Cora. He could tell that the kid was tipping pitches. And so they took advantage of that very quickly. They were very aggressive. I think that also connected to what, hey, Crochet was not at his best. He had one of his worst outings of the season in terms of earned runs, but he still could be more aggressive because he actually had run support. But that run support largely came from reading the situation. And I don't think it's a situation that you're going to come up against time and time again. Like, it's not like you really unlocked something. Is Roman Anthony coming along? Maybe. Like, it's, again, it's a small sample size.
He was hitting under 100 a week ago. He's up over 200 now. So
okay.
that's
progress.
That's a sizable difference.
Said.
Yeah.
Is Abreu being back is certainly a good thing for them. We'll see with Alex Bregman. I just don't know that any of that is enough to look at this and say, okay, by the time that you're coming out of the All-Star break, by the time you're looking at the trade deadline, are you going to be in a position where ownership feels secure enough that they want to dive even deeper into this season? Like, I think we're pretty far off from that still.
Yeah. I mean, I still hope they're buying at the trade deadline. And maybe, just maybe, you saw a little bit of your return for Rafi Devers. Hicks came in last night and was throwing 100 miles an hour. Now, it's in largely a blowout situation, a relatively meaningless situation. Certainly not a high leverage. I shouldn't call it meaningless, but not a high leverage situation. And you get an idea of some of what you're getting back to help out the back end of the bullpen.
It's a perfect time to throw him in there.
I feel good about Kyle Harrison when they got him. I feel worse after his first outing in Worcester. So, like, maybe already some of those reinforcements come in. I know those are on the pitching side. I would be buying if I'm the Red Sox. I'm fearful.
Harrison, Hicks. They both suck.
Well, not last night. I'm fearful that they're going to fall out of it and sell, and Jaron Duran will be out, or Abreu, who I have traded. Twitch chat was making fun of me. I've traded Abreu a couple of different times this year.
Sometimes it looked like it made sense.
Yeah, they move on from Abreu or even Chapman, which is a name you highlighted yesterday. I don't want them to fall out of it. I don't want that to happen. And so, you know, to me, that's kind of where I'm at with this team. But I hope they're buying. I hope they're looking to add. They should be looking to buy and add. And hopefully the offense is already improving. Never mind the potential return of Yoshida, which would be another guy to get in there. I don't know what he brings to the table necessarily at this point in time. He hasn't played in forever. And when he did, he was never exactly a big middle of the order hitter. But that's another guy who could come back and help in short order.
It was impressive watching Abreu gun it around the bases last night. Like, going all out. That man could also outrun a crocodile. Crocodile, alligator, what's the difference? I'm not really sure.
Oh, good question.
But he wouldn't even need to zigzag.
I think it's kind
of just take off.
I think it's kind of the facial makeup, I think, is some.
I think it's
is.
The region in which they live.
Oh, is that what it is?
Can we get a fact check on that? Maybe it's the type of water that they're in.
I think it's both.
Is one salt water and one fresh water?
I'm not sure about that. But the
seems
real
kind of important.
The
like,
real answer
you think
is,
it's
I don't
about
know.
The snoot. You think it's the snoot shape.
I do think it's a little bit about
I
that.
Think it's about where they live.
So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. We will get to Mego's big picture look at the Patriots. We do have another Bruins signing, though.
Oh.
And it feels like another depth. And when I say depth, third line type player.
Okay, is everyone going to be playing on the third line?
Tanner Janot, 5 years, $3.4 million, formerly of the Tampa Bay Lightning. For a stretch, he was with the Kings a year ago.
Too many Kings.
Say it again.
Too many Kings. I get Sturm was there, but too many Kings.
Well,
these are his connections.
Yes, but did Sturm overlap with Janot? I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
Sturm
no.
did overlap with Arvidsson, which is true. I don't think he would have overlapped with Janot. Janot was part of a big trade early in his career when he went from Nashville to Tampa, and he was traded for a bunch of picks. And Callan Foote was the return, who was a defensive prospect in Tampa at the time and then was shipped to Nashville. So he had a 24-goal year early in his career when he was 24. Other than that, here's his goal totals. Ready? I'll go in order, Mego, from when he entered the league at age 23. 5, 24, 6, 7, 7.
What happened in that 24 year?
I don't know.
What was he doing then?
Brady Anderson is what he was. So he's 28, just turned 28. He is, it feels, a depth forward. So the Bruins came into today with almost $13 million in cap space, 12.8 or whatever it was. They've signed two forwards, Victor Arvidsson, who was pretty good just a few years ago with the Kings and had a few good seasons early in his career with Nashville, and now Tanner Janot on, for some reason, a five-year deal.
Yeah.
At $3.4 million per, that's most of your cap space right there.
Our buddy DJ Bean from the What Chaos podcast says the projected contract for him was 2 years, $1.42 million.
Is what he said in reaction to the signing, or that was what
in
he forecast
reaction.
Ahead of time? Oh, boy. So our good pal DJ not on board with that signing.
This is like early Sweeney when they signed, they traded a third-round pick for Zach Rinaldo.
Yeah, that was
this
a rough
guy all he does is have penalty minutes. He doesn't do much else.
Yeah. Now, look, he was part of, I mean, did Janot, he must have, was he on one of those cup-winning teams for the Lightning, or did he go back when they lost, or go there when they lost? I mean, he was on some high-end Tampa teams that were trying to capitalize probably on his edge and physicality. But I would say I'm not wild about either of the deals. I was hoping the Bruins would, instead of putting two or three contracts together to piece it together, Mego, I was hoping they would go, you know, a little more all-in on a guy like, well, Besser, who didn't move. He remained in Vancouver. Or Ehlers, as we were saying, who still hasn't signed. Say it again.
He never won a cup.
So did Janot get there the year they got back and lost? I forget who they. I'm trying to remember who they lost.
Probably because of him.
Probably because
when he got
of
to
him.
Tampa, the Golden Knights won it.
Yeah, did they beat Tampa in the final?
They might have beat Tampa.
Okay, well, whatever. But they were trying to capitalize on a window when they dealt for Janot. Would be my only point. So there you go. That is not how I wanted them to piece it together. Are you looking at the crocodile tweet or text?
The difference between crocodiles and alligators has to do with the snout.
Thank you.
I'm surprised Jones doesn't know this, considering he has a child. Is that something that like all children learn these days?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
You get them early on coding.
I was bracing for a joke about my nose is what I was bracing for. And so
about your kid that you're not teaching them about. The snouts of crocodiles and alligators.
I guess, well, maybe.
Get up to speed.
Maybe that's a reference to all the animal shows my child watches. Creature Cases, Wild Kratts, things of this
nature. Have you heard of these books of who would win?
Yeah, my kid read one last night. Yes.
My nephew's into them. It seems, they seem kind of violent.
Oh, they are. They're violent. Oh, yeah.
It sounds like Deadliest Warrior for kids.
Yeah, it's exactly
what it is.
What's
Deadliest Warrior?
Deadliest Warrior is like you line up.
It's like a samurai
and a gladiator.
Marine, and
yeah, exactly. Who would win?
This is basically like bear versus alligator.
Yeah.
Who wins?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just, I'm like, wow. I didn't know that you could learn about this young.
I read a Shark Rumble last night.
Shark Rumble?
Yeah, 15 sharks died, 1-1. I'm not going to spoil who it was. Yeah, it was a rumble.
They're dying in this?
Yeah, who would win? It's the animal kingdom,
like
Mego. Animals die.
Oh my God.
It's the circle of life.
Yeah, that seems...
The Lion King tried to teach it to us a long time ago.
I know, I always skip over that part for my nephew when I read it to him, though. It's sad.
Spoiler alert, Annie like, Ross, Lucas, if you're listening, but yeah,
and
that's
then
what happens.
Simba decided he wanted to spend some time away from home.
Mm-hmm.
No reason.
No.
He wasn't running away from murder.
I have I said this before on the air? I know I've told you guys this off the air. I tried showing Lucas the Lion King, and I was bracing for the scene with his father. We didn't even get there. He saw the hyenas, and he was like, hey, I think I want to watch something different.
He was scared of the hyenas?
Yes, scared of the hyenas, yes. Out.
Okay. I don't know.
Like just
about
the three hyenas, or when they're all in like their.
They're not even scary.
Well, you know, tell that to a 7-year-old. I don't know.
Scary.
I don't know what to tell you. But yes, I'm familiar with the Who Would Win.
Was
books.
He scared of Scar? Scar is a little scary.
Scar,
but he's also funny.
I think Scar, he was a little on edge. Then the hyenas came in, and he was like,
"Has he ever heard you on the radio?"
yeah, he heard when they were driving to Maine last week. He heard some of Grab Bag.
Oh, okay.
He did. Grab bag. Popular with 7-year-olds. Yeah. Okay. Popular with 7-year-olds. It's more hit or miss with the adults. But yes, very popular with the 7-year-olds.
When Tanner Jannot got to Tampa Bay, that's the year they lost to the Maple Leafs in the first round.
Lost to the Leafs in the first round. Okay, my mistake.
So you're not exactly getting a winner.
Here's the thing. I'm not telling you Arvidsson and Jannot suck. That's not what I'm telling you. The Bruins needed to fill out their forward group. I don't like the approach of let's spackle it together with a couple of these different players. Like that to me would be my critique on the way they're approaching it. I wish they went more in on one big swing. But maybe they tried to and guys didn't want to come here. Maybe they were gun shy about it because they tried to do that last year with Lindholm and Zadorov in a quick fix and it didn't work. So you only have 1 year on Arvidsson. There's not a lot of long-term money locked up. Jannot, it's not big money, but you're locked into him for 5 years. He's 28 years old.
Is it possible they can only get Sturm guys?
That is possible. I don't think Jannot is really a Sturm guy. He was in the organization, but I don't think he would have played for him, really.
All right.
Right?
It's not just like word of mouth. Like, you want to go where Sturm's at.
Yeah, maybe. Brace yourself for more Kings on the way in. That's true. 617-779-7937. Let's mix in a quick Celtics call, and then I want to follow up on some Patriots thoughts here with Mego. Chris is in Beckett. Hello, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I just wanted to share a little love for Jaylen Brown. I think we underestimate like the value that he brings to the team. I mean, the guy won the MVP of the finals, and the presence he brings to the locker room, et cetera. I would actually be willing to trade Jason Tatum for Giannis with maybe a trade in the draft and keep Brown.
Okay. Would you entertain that whatsoever, Mego, based on the fact that Tatum's not playing this year? And so you don't know how he's coming back from the injury.
It's true.
Like, you have no idea. Plenty guys have not come back the same player from this injury. In fact, no one's come back the same player from this injury. And so I would expect Tatum to have already peaked. I don't think he's ever going to be an MVP. I don't think he's going to be first team all NBA again. Giannis's first team all NBA in his sleep. He's been an MVP. And you could have Giannis with Jaylen this year. Would you do that trade?
No.
Me neither.
I wouldn't.
I was trying to play devil's advocate and talk
Here's
it up, but
thing,
I wouldn't do it
either.
If there's
anything we've learned from the last 10 years of the NBA is that you can't just put together guy who's an MVP, guy who's been an MVP, guy who's all NBA. Like, it's just not that simple. You see what they try to do with the Brooklyn Nets. Like, you had those three together. You saw what just happened out in Milwaukee. Everybody, when that happened, Jones, like, we looked at it and we went, Giannis and Dame, that makes sense because there's not redundancy at those positions. It never worked. So much of it is about the chemistry among the guys and like the willingness to play a certain kind of way. And I just don't get that from Giannis. And especially if you traded Tatum for Giannis and then Giannis comes in, how do you think Jaylen's going to feel about that? Jaylen does not like Giannis. Like, he really does not like him.
That's a good point.
You think that Jaylen and Jason can maybe not be like the warmest to each other? You don't like that they're not best friends? Well, what do you think Jaylen and Giannis are going to be like, especially now that Jaylen has become a supermax guy who feels himself very strongly to be a leader in that locker room? No, thank you.
That's a fair point. They don't get along very well.
Giannis is a child.
I'm just reading out. People are forwarding me these. Are you familiar with Jay Fresh Hockey? I've seen his work before, like analytics guy. He makes these like visual charts for all these players, but I like the write-up he's giving. I don't know how to read the charts, okay? Like, I don't know how to read all the advanced analytics or anything on the charts.
How elaborate are these charts?
How what are they?
Elaborate. They can't read them.
I don't know. I don't understand what any of it means. That's all. So I don't pretend to understand any of it. But he gives like little summations of the players the Bruins have signed on top of all the nonsense analytics, right? So here's Jay Fresh Hockey, their take on Victor Arvidsson, who the Bruins acquired earlier today. Arvidsson is a rushing scoring winger who generates basically all of his offense in transition. I would say that's not a skill set the Bruins don't need. Like, they could use that skill set. So, okay, I kind of like that write-up. How about the one on Tanner Janot? You ready for this? This one I like less.
I'm looking at it right now.
Tanner Janot, again, 5 years, $3.4 million, is a physical low event depth winger.
Well.
Who does practically nothing with the puck.
Well.
And punishes opposing players who try to do things with it. So I like the second part. I don't love the first.
Boats.
I don't love the first part. He does nothing with the puck, and he's a low event depth winger.
Yeah,
I
mean, the big bad Bruins are back.
But they needed him for 5 years? I don't love that.
Does virtually nothing. Okay. But punish. He's a punisher.
He does virtually nothing with the puck. But
he's
watch out if you
punisher.
Have the puck. Yes, yes, yes.
He's the punisher. That's exactly who you'll have on your team.
Okay. So I wouldn't say I love that write-up. You guys can discuss at 617-779-7937. On the Patriots, Mego.
Mm-hmm.
Mego does great work covering, namely, the Celtics and Patriots on WEEI.com. What's your outlook on the Pats this year? Keith and I went through the schedule. I had him down for 9 wins. He had him down for 10 wins. A lot of that has to do with the opponents on their schedule this year. Some of it has to do with Vrabel replacing Mayo, which is an upgrade, forecasting a step forward from Drake May. What's a realistic outlook for the Patriots this year in year one with Mike Vrabel?
They're between a 7 and 9 win team to me. I think 7 is if Drake takes a step back, offense doesn't really click, and defense is still okay. 9 is defense is as strong as they're talking like they're going to be. Everybody buys into Vrabel everywhere, and Drake has a really strong year. And then you could dance around 10. I just don't see them getting above 10. I know everybody is focused on how weak the schedule is, and it is a weak schedule, but you're really coming off of being a 3-win team. Like, you were stupidly gifted that final win of the season.
You were lucky to
be
a 4-win
team. So you're really a 3-win team. Going from 3 to 7 is huge progress, and that's the low end for me. So I would say I'm pretty bullish on the Pats, but I'm not quite in the 10-11 territory that I know that people who are very, very high on them are.
Why couldn't they be the Commanders? Like, and I don't mean the NFC title game, but why couldn't they do that? You're a Washington football fan.
They could.
Why couldn't they do that from a year ago or what Houston did 2 years ago? Like, why couldn't they be that team?
I think the big difference is that Drake is still far behind that development just in terms of experience. I think that Drake May is probably going to be close to Jaden Daniels a couple years from now in like the tier of quarterback. When you're tiering off your quarterbacks, they're going to be in the same tier.
We did do that. You very much hated
our
tiers.
I think
yes.
They will be in the same tier eventually once they're both like polished professional, but Drake's just not polished yet. He's really not. Like, he still has a lot to learn, and now he's learning another system. And on top of that, they don't have a Terry McLaurin. If you're very lucky, then you'll have a Steph Diggs be something kind of that mold, but even he's not probably going to be the deep threat that McLaurin can be. Your offense, in terms of the receivers, just still feels very limited. You have a lot of guys who seem to do the same thing, who play inside the numbers, and maybe that works in the Josh McDaniels style offense, but even then, are you, you know, cutting off Drake at the kneecap a little bit because you're not going to let him use his arm as much? You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, no, I do.
A lot of this is how these pieces work. With the Commanders' schedule was better than their talent last year. I mean, their outcome, rather.
They outperformed it. Yeah.
They outperformed mm-hmm. themselves. And some of that was very lucky. We all know the miracle at the finish. Like, that they overachieved. Could the Patriots do that? I don't really see, like, one big red flag of to why they couldn't. But I still think that they just have a long way to go.
What would help a lot is Diggs being ready week one. Do you think he'll be out there week one?
Yes.
You do?
I do. I would be pretty disappointed if he's not.
He
looks.
I would be disappointed,
so
but I wouldn't be surprised.
Healthy. He looks so strong in person. He looks so strong in person, especially when you compare him to the other receivers. Now, this might say something about the other receivers. He looks like a different tier of receivers up against those guys.
Well, he is.
I'm saying, yeah. But he looks healthy. And he did immediately when he came into that final week of OTAs, because he was gone for all of OTAs. And then you get the pink bag, and then he shows up the following week, and he's all smiles, and he's in a good mood, and they threw him out there in some stuff that we were not expecting to see him thrown out in. I'm excited for Diggs. I hope that that's the last bit of shenanigans off the field that he gets into or exposes himself to, but I think that if he can be like an 800-yard guy, then it's going to be a great thing for Drake.
Do you think they're out of the woods on off-field shenanigans?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Oh, boy.
But look, if that's the level of shenanigans, it's more like it's a pain in Vrabel's rear end. You don't have to involve the league in anything. It's just a bad look, and it makes it, quite frankly, makes the player look unserious. And that's a poor reflection for somebody who's the veteran who you brought in, who everybody in that room knows is the best, and who is getting all this money. Like, that's the tough look for it. It's not like, if that's the level of shenanigan, I think that might just be tough on the relationship between the player and the team and the coach more than anything.
Right. Annoying, but he'll still be on the team. He won't force his way out of town.
No.
Okay.
But so yeah, between 7 and 9, I feel like that's a good perspective of what to expect from this team. And hopefully Drake, to me, the biggest thing continues to take a step forward. And, you know, we'll all just in the meantime keep stalking his honeymoon pictures.
Yeah, now I saw Hart tweet these out. Hart seemed to identify he's in St. Lucia is what he
said. Yeah, because I guess Andy's family was just there, so they missed him by a couple weeks.
He's Andy Hart, a big Caribbean trip down to St. Lucia. So yeah, I guess he just missed Drake May. I'm sure Drake May is really kicking himself about that.
I know. He's like, oh, come on. You should have told me, my guy.
617-779-7937. Speaking of WEEI afternoons, you got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. They come your way at 2 o'clock. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, and there's a lot going on. Bruins making signings. NBA free agency. Very, very busy. Some moves in the NFL as well. We'll come right back because it's time for Grab Bag.
They named it Santiago, which of course in German means a whale's
grab bag.
No, there's no way that's correct.